Welcome to the Trade Secrets Podcast, hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Damon is a licensed U.S. customs broker and certified customs specialist with more than 18 years' experience in the import-export customs, transportation, and logistics sectors. Each month, Trade Secrets will bring you guests in the industry to provide their insights on timely trade issues to give you an advantage in international trade. So now, let's talk trade.
Welcome to the podcast, Damon Piatek, President and CEO, Welke Custom Brokers USA. Today we have a special guest, Doug Cooper, who is the owner of Goldberry Coffee. We're very excited to have him. We've done some entries with him of coffee coming from Mexico, and we're here to hear about his coffee company and what he does. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hi, Damon. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. And it's a pleasure and privilege to be able to share our story a little bit today.
Great, great. So, Doug, why don't we start off? How did you get to where you are today? Like, was it, were you like a child, like 6 years old and thinking, oh, I'm going to import coffee and roast it and sell it?
Yeah, that was my dream when I was born. I can't tell you when exactly I started to really be interested in coffee. I remember first time I had it, but, over the last few decades, I really got interested in coffee and more than just drinking it. The whole culture and the whole process and the agricultural part and the processing part. And it occurred to me at one point, not that long ago, probably 12, 13 years ago, I had a real interest in helping communities that were impoverished that need to be developed, helping the people there. And it seemed like with all of the communities across the world that are dependent and reliant on coffee agriculture and trade, that there'd be opportunities to be able to help communities like that by helping them with their coffee situation. So I had this idea about 12 years ago that I could identify a community that kind of met a criteria that I had in my head that would be, you know, a good partner, that would welcome somebody like me to help them, also that would be interested in community development for their whole community, and that I would use coffee as the kind of the foundation of that. I would go to the community and the farmers there and offer them a good price for their coffee, and then bring it into the U.S., and they would get a good price. I would be able to sell it, and we'd start that cycle with the idea that, you know, the increased profit they would make would enhance their community economically, but also then socially and spiritually as well, as usually happens. So I started to kind of search for communities and get the word out, and honestly, between us, Damon, very naively, that, you know, here's what I'd like to do. And I had a guy that used to, he was a business associate that heard me talking about this, and he said, you know, I know a guy that goes to my church, and he's from a village that sounds exactly like you're describing. And I said, well, I got to meet him and let's, you know, talk. And so we got together at a Mexican restaurant. I met this guy. His name was Jaime. We talked a couple times, and this village that he was born in Mexico was exactly kind of the vision I had for this grand scheme of mine. I finally said, well, Jaime, we should go there. And he was a U.S. citizen by now, and we should scope this out. So he's kind of was like, oh, really? But we did. And so we ended up in this place in Mexico, a very remote village called Chicontla in the state of Puebla in Mexico, region of the Sierra Norte de Puebla. And I found myself with these coffee farmers, and very quickly realized that their coffee was not good at all. And they were so impoverished because of the situation, the whole community, that it was just so much bigger of a project than I could ever imagine. So that's what launched me into, developing not only a Goldberry roasting company, that would turn out to be a commercial roaster, but also a nonprofit coffee growing community, so that we could tend to development of coffee, development of the community, development of reestablishing some prosperity in the area, while we help the farmers get their coffee to a quality premium product that actually could earn a better price, in the market. So that's what got me launched into these two organizations that I lead now.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it sounds like it's more so the human factor than it is the coffee. It sounds like from your story here that it's the coffee is secondary to what the real goal is for your companies.
Coffee is, don't get me wrong, I am a weirdly passionate geek about coffee. There's just a thing, and I don't know, I just think that it was what drew me into this work. But even our mission for Goldberry Roasting Company is to enhance the lives of those who drink, serve, and grow coffee. So even our roasting company, we have retail, got a couple retail coffee shops and do roasting. But even that, our real mission, our purpose for being is to enhance the quality of life for people. And I've just found that coffee is a perfect way to do that, because it touches so many areas of life, not only for these people that we're serving in Mexico now, but also, the people who serve it and the communities in the U.S. that gather around coffee. Coffee's just in the middle of stuff. And so it was just kind of this perfect lever to help do this thing that I had in my heart to try to do.
Great, great. So the main focus, obviously, is the people. And your international markets, are you just in Mexico, or are you getting coffee from other places at this point?
As far as I am a newbie to the whole direct trade situation, and I've kind of like fallen into it by mistake and found out what a good thing it is. But we only have one direct trade relationship right now, and it's Mexico.
Okay.
The vision for our nonprofit would be to identify communities that kind of meet that criteria in other growing regions, eventually. But what we found in Mexico is the kind of work we're doing, because you're building relationships and trust and longevity and sustainability, it's not quick and it's not easy.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of perfect what we're doing there, or refine it before we go into other areas, but we do want to go into other areas. What we roast at Goldberry right now, we have, as you mentioned, Welke helped us import our first shipment of Mexican coffee from these farmers that we've been working with for 11 years to finally get their coffee to a point where it's, stands on its own quality-wise. And then we supplement, or we buy coffee from, the traditional wholesalers, specialty green coffee suppliers, and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. to provide the whole spectrum of origins that people, coffee
right.
people like to drink.
And for our listeners that aren't familiar with coffee, your different regions are going to produce different flavors, correct? So you'll get nutty flavors from one area, more citrusy
That's
flavors
right.
from another.
I'm
a coffee geek too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to wine in that there's a concept called terroir that's a combination of altitude, latitude, climate, and soil that creates the specific thumbprints or fingerprints of flavor in the different origins. And so, a roaster, the grower has to work with that to get that signature flavor profile, and then the roaster has a great opportunity either to enhance it or to ruin it, honestly.
Okay.
So what we try to do is bring out and enhance that unique thumbprint, not only in these big regions, but in even smaller regions where these farmers are working, they're contributing their lives to growing this coffee, and they present it to us and say, here, take care of it. And then we take care of it by reflecting the terroir, the flavor profiles, and the flavor qualities that the farmers that go back to represent the farmers in their home. well. So that's a way we try to respect the farmers, is by bringing that unique flavor profile out of the coffee as we roast it.
Great, great. So your first shipment, your first international shipment,
yeah,
was Mexico. Tell us about that experience for you. You know, timeline, what you expected, what you didn't expect. Give us a little insight into that.
Well, yeah, every stage of this journey that we're on, I always think is going to be easier than it is. and that's life. But, yeah, the process, I think, Damon, probably from the time that we contacted Welke to the time that we actually received shipment of coffee was probably almost a year.
Okay.
And it was, I would say, daunting a bit, not because it was hard work, like hard labor, but
right. Really
for a new person in this who has never done it before, and with all of the regulations and all of the technicalities, like, you just don't know where to start. So fortunately, I contacted Welke, and, you know, this is the truth, not an ad. You guys really navigated me through this without gaining much on your end financially for it. It ended up, you know, we had some complications. We didn't have a Mexican broker that we could identify right away. Our growers don't have their export license, so we had to work around that in a legal and, you know, ethical way. And so we actually had a shipment of coffee ready to go originally that we traded with a new shipment by the time it was done.
Wow.
And I can tell you that the day that it left Mexico and the day that it reached our property was like celebration.
Yeah.
Because it not only, you know, had we culminated 11 years of working with these farmers, but also we finally got this coffee through the process for the first time.
Right.
And it felt like labor.
No hiccups when it arrived at the border, correct? I mean, once you got all the I's dotted and T's crossed, it came across smoothly. But that was the research, the understanding, the regulations on the export. That's where it really kind of came in that's the importance of knowing those regulations. But going through that process with you, knowing that the bigger hurdle was the export regulations than the import regulations. So tell us a little bit about that. Was there a language barrier? Did you have tell us about that part.
All kinds of barriers, and you know, all of them are understandable, but absolutely language barriers. And dealing with a coffee co-op who knows no English, so having to have somebody translate all of that, you know, even having some conversations by phone with language barriers, then just our coffee growers not knowing what they didn't know that they needed an export, and then so, you know, the Mexican rules and laws for exportation, for certification of a corporation and that kind of thing are different. And we can't apply any knowledge from the U.S. to that because some of it just doesn't translate. Just the sourcing somebody from south of the border that both could serve as an export agent and customs broker, it just was sort of a convoluted relationship, understandably, but something we didn't anticipate and was pretty unique. So we just, you know, as you know, we just had to, you know, like tough it out and work out all the little details. Many of them, I'm sure, like you handled in our broker from in the Mexico side, handled that I didn't even know about, but just a lot of clearing up misunderstandings and, you know, smoothing out complications that happen from distance and from not sharing the same language or the same laws.
Yeah. And I do have to say that the World Trade Center was helpful in identifying somebody who could be a partner down in Mexico.
We've been
members here in the Buffalo Niagara World Trade Center for a number of years. I sit on the board, so I reached out to them and said, hey, we have this problem. And then through connections, we ended up with the company that helped you down in Mexico. So, but successful.
Yeah, very helpful. I don't know what we would have done had that not been able to, like, had you not been able to use that reference.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it in the end, it was successful. The second one should go smoother. We always say that the first one is the more difficult one. So
I hope.
but we're there all the way for you either way.
So
tell us a little bit about kind of what you see for the future of your company and like what's next.
Well, first of all, we're already planning our second shipment, and it's a smaller shipment. But I think, you know, the pathway has been cut, but this is a very specialized coffee that, you know, isn't going to be a lot of bulk. It's going to be just having to follow the same path. So we have that going in Mexico. We hope that there's a continual pipeline from our Mexican farmers to the U.S., and we hope that we can help them increase their customer base in the U.S. But as I said before, you know, we've gotten a lot of interest from people in Honduras and Ethiopia and Kenya and Guatemala to come and bring our nonprof to some small communities to begin to do what we're doing. And the progression that we see is that you know, we kind of help in the development areas, and then it leads to having coffee that's marketable that we could buy ourselves, bring here from those other countries, and then use ourselves, but also find other customers. So I think probably the next step is going to be finding these nuances and these intricacies in, you know, maybe another Central American trading partner or somebody in one of the African growing regions where we can actually partner both with social, spiritual, economic development, and then ultimately with premium coffee.
Fantastic.
So, you know, stay tuned, because we will definitely need you for those areas, just like we did from Mexico.
Great. Well, we will be here for that. Where can our listeners find out more about your company?
The two places. Our for-profit, our roasting company, is goldberryroasting.com. And we have, you know, a lot of information about our coffee and our origins, and you know, you can buy online. Then our nonprofit has its own organization. It has it's a 501c3. It has a board of directors, and you can find out all about it at coffeegrowingcommunity.org. And we have video. We have you know, explanations of what we're doing to do development work in Mexico right now. You know, for those people who feel passionate about the work, there's opportunities to donate to that.
Fantastic.
So that's the pretty direct ways to find out more about us.
Great, great. And just to wrap it up for our listeners, can you provide us with like one or two tips if companies are starting to look at this international market and to either import or export, something that you can provide that might give them some insight?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, two things come off to the top of my head quickly. One is it's really important. You know, it's kind of adventurous and romantic and heartwarming to identify some coffee farmers or co-ops that you can partner directly with. And it sounds like you can just reach out and shake their hand and say, we'll take it, and they're going to say, yeah, we'll get it up to you. But really to be able to bring to those farmers who may not have experience with that, some of the requirements that will be asked of them up front. Do you have an export license? Are you working on it? Do you have a corporate entity? You know, all of the things that legally need to be in line. If I was talking to somebody else who's looking at getting into this for the first time, research and know what is expected of your source so that they can be working on that while you're helping develop the relationship. And then the second thing, again, I can say unashamedly, and I would say this whether I was talking to you or someone else, I would I would spend the time and the money to partner with someone like Welke, or with Welke in particular, because you're the experts and you know what you're doing. And it's more, I can tell you from my own situation, you more than earned, you know, you much more than earned what I ended up paying you for this first time. And I'm sure that that will continue. So that just kind of takes the monkey off the back of somebody like me who feels pressure to know everything, puts it in the place of someone like Welke, who has the expertise already and can be efficient and effective. And then we can worry about other things that we have to worry about. So those are the two that come to my head right off the top.
Those are great pieces of advice, and I especially like the second one. So
well, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Well, but I say it sincerely. I really do.
I appreciate that, Doug. And that's really why we're here at Welke. It's to make sure that you know, we act as an operational-based customs broker to become an extension of your international team and really do what we do best for you. So I'm glad you had that experience. And, Doug, thank you so much for being on the podcast. For our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns that pertain to your specific product or importing something, please send them on my way. I'll get you on the podcast. The email you could send it to is Damon, D-A-M-O-N, at Welke, WELKEUSA.com. And thank you. This is a wrap for another episode of Trade Secrets.
This has been Trade Secrets, the podcast hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Thank you for listening.